Our Bible reading this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4. You'll find it around page 1175 of the Church Bibles, but it's also up on the screen beside me if you're able to look in that direction from where you're sitting. I think from a slightly different translation, but still the same teaching from Paul about spiritual gifts and the way that we use them. And I'm going to invite Myra now to come and share with us this reading from the Word of God and her own thoughts on it.
Good morning. The mic, okay? Yeah. So I will ask you to open your Bibles in Ephesians, please, and have it ready there. I need to say that today I am in front of you full of gratitude, first of all, for the opportunity to be here. With happiness to see faces that we know that we have met in the last months or in the past 2, 3, 5 years, and that really makes me feel at home. So I'm very happy to be here and also honored to have the opportunity to listen to God. And I have a great expectation. What is He going to tell us today? I know what He has been telling me, but I'm sure He will speak to us again. And my prayer has been that He will encounter us where we are, with our needs, our dreams, our fears, our questions, and that we will leave today with a vision, with a prayer, with a need, with a decision in what He wants, what His will for us and for Partick Trinity. So let's pray briefly, please, and then we will continue. Our God, thank You that You are here. We are so honored that You can be in Your house, that You can be in Your presence, that we can be here together as a family, only because You called us, You saved us, You forgave us, and You have given us the Spirit, so we can be one in You. Thank You, Lord. That is so precious and special that we really don't understand the full meaning of it. Help us to grasp a little bit more today so we can be empowered by You to do Your work and to extend Your kingdom here in Partick Trinity, in Glasgow, in Scotland, and beyond the frontiers, because this is Your universe. In Your name we pray. Amen. So we are going to have chapter 1 open and ready there. I will try not to be traveling too much in the letter, but we will have to see some things. And the first thing I want you to remember, I know you know this, but I would like to remind you. Brothers and sisters, do we know that we have been blessed in every spiritual blessing in Christ? It says, chapter 1, I'm thinking about the verse 3. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Now, I have read this many times. I read it again. It's not there, so we'll go there very soon. But I have read this many times, and honestly, every time I see it, it touches my heart. What does it mean? Every blessing. I'm sure there are lots of books, and theologians have been trying to speculate about it. But believe me, I don't think we have an idea. I don't think any human being has a clue what it means that we have been blessed in every spiritual blessing in Christ. I mean, the power that it means. I know our world is longing for power and authority, and that's the whole thing. But this is beyond imagination. And we have been blessed. You and I. You and I. Doesn't matter if you became a Christian yesterday, or you are just now thinking about it, or 30 or 50 or 60 or 70 years ago. We have been blessed. I mean, this is more than we can imagine. And of course, we don't deserve it. But we got it because of him. And this is the introduction. The rest of the letter, everything that Paul will be asking the church to do, is hanging from this truth. I know there are some psychologists and counselors among us, and I know that sometimes we do, or we have been in groups where they give us a few pieces of work or things to do, and they say, okay, produce an aeroplane from that scratch paper and that tape and you know, scratch materials, recycle it. Do a project with it. And they want to see your skills, your creativity, and if you are capable of doing it. Or you need to put an egg and it will not crash, or it will not break, that kind of thing. And it is possible, but you struggle. You need a lot of communication, you need a lot of thinking behind. Now, when God has put you and me in the church, and let's speak about the local church here, he didn't do that. He equipped us with every single thing that is needed and more. So when he established the church, and I'm thinking in the local church and the universal church, he gave us everything. It's not recycling materials or scratch paper or just the very minimum that you need lots of creativity and skills to produce something. He gave us everything, the best quality, the best high tech you can imagine. And with that in mind, then Paul take us to chapter 2 saying that we have a new life. We have a new life. But also in chapter 3, he speaks about the ministry and the mission that we have in Christ. But in chapter 4, it says, verse 1, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. He urges us because he knows God has equipped us. He's not asking us to do something that we cannot do. He's not trying to test us. Let's see if you can do it. Or when we are terrified, oh, I'm going to maybe put into shame the name of the church or something. He is calling us because he has equipped us. And this is the power. And when we were singing the first hymn this morning, I was thinking, well, absolutely the Spirit was putting this service together, because it's the power of the resurrection. It's the power of God. I don't know how many of you had the opportunity, which is a very sad moment, to see someone dying in front of your eyes. Can be a loved one, can be related to your work. When you see someone dying, yes, it is a very emotional, it is a difficult moment, but if you have had that experience, the person dies. There's nothing that can be done. There's emptiness, silence, frustration. God has the power, and he's the only one who has the power to bring someone back to life. And he did this in Jesus. And we know there are other examples in the Bible as well. The power. There's no medical doctor, no scientist, no drug can do that. And 3 days after. When we see that every time, related to my job, I'm a hospital chaplain, so facing that regularly. When I see that, I really think, wow, and God brought Jesus back to life. This is real power. And that power has been granted to us. Not to show off, not to say I am special, but to use it for the church, to use it for the service of the church and to build up the church. This church the church in Glasgow, and beyond the frontiers, beyond the borders. How do you feel this morning? How often do we remember that we have that power? It has been granted to us. It's not our own. We are not magicians. We are not performing tricks here. We are talking about a power that goes beyond the walls, that touches people, lives, that transforms, communicates the gospel with passion, with love, with faith. So in this chapter that we are now, it says that the gifts that Christ gave were that some will be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. This list is not comprehensive. It's just an example. There are so many talents and gifts, and I know there are lots of talents here. I know this church is involved in lots of missionary work in the city and beyond, which is brilliant. But I also read that they are asking and looking for more people to help, more street pastors, more people for doing the cooking. And I'm sure the list doesn't include all the needs that you have as a church. Now, I love the metaphor that Paul uses to talk about the church of Christ, the body. I mean, this is a comparison, right? But you can stretch it, and it can be sometimes scary and sometimes funny. What will happen if, when you feel hungry, and you are hungry, your hand doesn't obey your head, and you want to put the fork in your mouth, and your hand goes all over the place? You are hungry. Your brain is saying, feed me, and your hand is not paying attention. I mean, that, just the idea of that seems very silly. That's not possible. Your head, your brain, controls your body. And when that doesn't happen, we talk about a problem, a disconnection, illness. When we talk about the Church of Christ, how many times we are hoping like this, excuse my English, because the other foot doesn't want to do the work. Does that happen? I think sometimes. But the image, the metaphor that Paul is giving us and urging us to do is to be part, to be an active part, because all of us, each of us, has a skill, a spiritual gift, and many other skills that God gave us to be used. I know there are different times in life. There are different seasons in life. And the call and the ministry that you can be doing can vary. Do you have plenty of time? Are you retired? Could you maybe pray? Could you write? Could you phone? What sort of ministries can you do? It's not necessarily the ones that are here in front. We are not all called to be doing the same things, but we are all called to be doing what builds up the body of Christ. And I stop there saying, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. And I say, wow. Sometimes we get it wrong. We want to be united first, and then we want to work and serve. We need to start using our gifts and skills to serve, to teach, to build up, and unity will happen. In working together, in doing what we are supposed to be doing, that happens. But it's not a unity just because, but it's in faith and of the knowledge that it will help us to know more, to understand, but also to mature, to be perfect. When we talk about perfection, especially in the Western world, we have a very scary idea. We think perfect means no mistake. But when we read these words, and perfection, maturity means it's just ripe. Like when you are preparing an apple crumble, you are not looking for an apple that is absolutely perfect in color and size. You are looking for an apple that is ripe, mature, perfect for the purpose that you have in mind. Your apple crumble. And it will apply for many other circumstances. So that's the measurement. It's not that we will not do things wrong or we will have to change direction. It means that we need to be doing what we have been called to do with others, with the view to honor God and to build up the body of Christ, which is the church, and to know more, to love more, to do more for our God, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. That is fantastic. Remember, we are not working here with recycling materials. We are working here with all the full equipment that God gave us in Christ, and that is available. Are we using it? Are you a collector of tools? Do you have tools all over your house, but you don't remember where they are, or you don't use them very often? Sometimes we are. We hide things from Joel Fernando because we are scared that he would be playing with them, and then when we need a hammer or something, where is it? But sometimes we are like that in our own lives, and the church is in need of that hammer, and we cannot find it. Or the hammer is so precious that it's hanging on the wall when we really need to use it on the floor. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about to every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into Him who is the head. This is Christ. So when we are hurting a toe or a foot or something, remember the metaphor, the idea. Can I be working or doing things without this part of my body? Will my foot go on strike because it doesn't want to work? Is that possible that maybe that is happening in the church? How can I change that? How can I be part of the solution, part of the action? I know you are doing, but there's always a space and place to do more. So the whole body of Christ has grace and can work in a way that is honoring God, in Partick Trinity, in Glasgow, and beyond. So I really want you to remember, we have been called by God to do something. Maybe you are already doing it. That's fantastic. Don't lose heart. Don't be discouraged. Maybe you are looking for opportunities. Maybe you think it's time to change direction and to do other ministries. Inquire. Pray about it. Do it. Maybe you need to be there helping others. Maybe your ministry is to encourage others. That's a fantastic ministry. Not always visible, but very, very precious. There is place for absolutely everyone. It doesn't matter your age or your experience or your skills, if you have more or less, to have experience with families. Well, there are always young families that need help and advice and encouragement. So my dear brothers and sisters, there is a tremendous power that has been given to us by God, with the view to create unity in the church, with the view to serve and build up the body of Christ. I encourage you for the part you are doing, and I'm sure there's always more opportunity. There's always more to do. So I encourage you to look for those opportunities and to be part of that, and to believe. Lord, you said that we have power. I don't feel I have any power or any talent sometimes. But you said it, and you are not a liar. I believe you. Use me. Use me for your purpose and to honor and build up your church and your kingdom here and beyond. Amen.